Ben Fred Fridays, always presented exclusively by Henderson and Watercutty. Lawyers protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400, 314-645-4400. They are available 24/7. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. No matter how big or small the offense, even traffic tickets to major offenses, they can help you out. And they've had great response by joining with us here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Henderson and Watercutty. Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com joins me, as he does every Friday morning. And Ben, a good morning to you.
Good morning. How's it going?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited about MLS. Let's jump into that first. A lot of things to get into with the Cardinals and XFL, but MLS is front page. We've been talking about this for a long time this past year. It's now official. St. Louis has been awarded a franchise. Let's get your initial reaction to what took place this past week.
Yeah, I thought it was just a pretty great celebration and a chance to hear from, you know, the folks who really had to be pretty buttoned up during this whole process. It was cool to get a chance to talk to Don Garber and really hear him talk about the long history of MLS really having its eye on St. Louis. We had known that it always made sense as a market, right? But hear him go through and remember, back in, you know, in the early 90s when the league was talking about this as a possibility, to his first trip here to meet with AB about a sponsorship, to, you know, even the project that was going to be in Collinsville, and coming and touring the city and having lunch with then Mayor Francis Slay about, you know, what this could look like. I mean, he was almost nostalgic about kind of this quest for St. Louis, and certainly, you know, a chance for Carolyn Kendall Betts and other members of the ownership group to talk about, hey, you know, these are some of the moments that jumped out to us along the way, things that we couldn't talk about at the time. That was fun. You hear, you know, the story about Andy Taylor looking Garber in the eye and saying, hey, you know, we're going to get this done, and I'm a man of my word. And those things that really kind of snapped everything into place along this way, and ending, of course, with the final presentation in Orlando to the Board of Governors, the entire group of owners, where, you know, they gave their presentation and the room just burst into applause. And that's basically the moment they realized they had the team. And it was finally across the finish line of some pretty cool scenes that we were able to find out about during the presentation, which, you know, I thought it went great. The videos went off without a hitch. The energy was there. The place was packed. It was everything I think you could have asked for.
What were some of the things that they felt like, you know what, maybe we're backed into a corner, it's dead in the water, and we're not going to get this done? What stood out about that aspect of it?
Yeah, just how hopeless it seemed at the time, right? I mean, you had a league official tell me that, you know, they were dead last on the list of potential expansion teams, expansion cities, after that vote didn't pass, and just how it seemed like a lost cause. And expanding to 30, it looks like it could have very much been over. And Garber said too, he's like, well, not only were we disappointed, we were shocked that vote didn't pass. And how it went from there to, you know, the Taylor family deciding to get on board, it starts with a lunch. You know, Jim Cavanaugh and Andy Taylor sit down together and look what came out of it. And there's, you know, that conversation that Andy Taylor had with Carolyn Kendall Betts, where, you know, he says, hey, what do you think about soccer? And she says, well, I think we're a three sport town. And then, you know, once the Taylor family goes all in, they don't know any other way. And, you know, they don't finish second in anything they get involved with. But that being the byproduct of that ballot initiative, was a pretty stunning turnaround. And to see what came out of it, I mean, look at what it produced. You know, it's a much stronger ownership group now. It's locally based and rooted, so it's not, you know, hinging on an outside investor. And Paul Edgerly, I think, would have been a fine owner, but he's from Boston, and this one is all local. You have the, you know, the primarily led by women, which is something the league valued a lot. And I think this is the ideal ownership group. This is the group that the league, if it could draw it up, would point to as its model. And I think, you know, it's pretty wild that came out of in a failed attempt that nearly left this thing toast without maybe a chance down the line to revisit it. If I doubt the league is going to expand beyond 30 teams anytime soon, if ever.
Give me just some quick thoughts on Jim Cavanaugh, Tom Strunk, and Carolyn Kendall Betts, those three.
Well, I think Carolyn is a rock star. I really, you know, listening to her talk up there, I think she could run for president at some point. I told her that I was joking, but she does have a certain persona about her. And I'll say this, and I think her energy and her willingness to admit what she doesn't know about the game has been very inviting to people who are on the fence. She doesn't come across as a soccer snob. She's very open about what she doesn't know and her desire to learn. And I think that's appealing for folks who want to be a fan of the team, but maybe don't know the ins and outs of the sport. I thought Jim Cavanaugh was, incredibly humble in this whole approach. He could have, wanted to be out in front. He could have wanted to, be the face of everything, but he was more willing to be behind the scenes and say, hey, let's just go get this done. And, he was as informative and as, as in tune as anybody during this whole process. And talking to him afterwards, he was just able to go blow by blow as to what got him to this point. And it's good that you mentioned Tom too, because oftentimes it's the guy who says the least who knows the most, right? And I was told by Carolyn that he was the guy who got up in front of every room when they presented and answered every tough question. He stiff-armed that and said, no, that's not the truth, but I think it is. He knew the X's and the O's, and he knew how to answer the owners and the expansion committee folks when they were asking tough questions about how this was going to work. And clearly they were impressed with what they heard.
What's the next step? I know that's what, so many fans are curious about: name, stadium, colors, all those things. From your perspective of talking to people, what's the next step? What's the next thing in line?
Well, I think the immediately they want to get the stadium details finalized. We haven't seen updated renderings. They need to get those finalized. In order to do that, in the building, you have to get the land acquisition under control. That's still in the process of making its way from federal government to the right hands. That's big. The other thing, and the reason I said finance, is because they still have to have that final financial package approved. This is something that the Board of Aldermen had accepted the proposal on, but that didn't make it final. That was basically a sign of goodwill until the team was awarded. So now that will have to go forward. I don't expect there to be much friction there based off of the political folks we saw involved with the announcement. Mayor, President, Board of Aldermen, even the comptroller has, offered congratulations publicly, which is usually a good sign. And then the other, there's a whole other arm of this, and it's the soccer operations side. Everything from hiring, a general manager to a coach, building out a roster. You have to pick the colors, the team name. A few things on that. Don Garber has encouraged the ownership group to seek a name that really connects the city's history and celebrates that. So I don't know if that's a tip, but that's, I think, one of the routes we'll be exploring. And one of the names, I think, too, that people should keep in mind is that we talk about team operations side is Dan Flynn. He's retiring from the U.S. soccer, used to be the top, one of the top CEO types there. He is going to be done with that, if not already, and he's already been working with the team in some sort of, an unofficial capacity as an advisor, if you will. I talked with Jim Cavanaugh, and he says that, that's the kind of guy that would be great to have on when you're launching the team. So I don't know what the title would be. I don't know if it would be a temporary thing as they kind of train someone to take over for him, but I would not be surprised at all if when that announcement comes, if he's involved in some way.
This is brought to you by Henderson Water Cutty, 645-4400, licensed in both Missouri and Illinois. Henderson Water Cutty, it is drug crimes, traffic, misdemeanors, property situations, juvenile crime, school discipline, order of protection, all there. And it's all listed and out for you if you go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. They're there 24/7, stlcriminaldefense.com. Let's switch gears. XFL, name is out. Is this thing going to work, Ben? I mean, what's your impression of what you've seen with the XFL?
Well, I'm trying to be optimistic. And I say that because, look, this is a league that wants to be here. It singled out St. Louis as one to come to town, and it's going to give it a shot. So I think you give it a shot. But I'll just say this. I think there have been some opportunities to maybe stir up some interest. that that the XFL hasn't been able to capitalize on. And, you know, I was a of the mindset that they should go out and get Isaac Bruce and make him the head coach, because I think it would have moved the needle. And I think that Isaac also knows football. I mean, he was basically a coach on a field during his entire time in the NFL, and he was interested. He wants to coach. So for him to be interested and not get much interest, I thought that was a little, it didn't make a lot of sense. I do think that Kurt Hunziker, the president, was a great hire. He is passionate about St. Louis. He knows St. Louis. He's from St. Louis. And I think he will work his tail off to try to get folks invested in and interested in this team. I like what he's talking about, going to meet with, you know, different parts of the community and being at Friday night high school games to try to draw up interest. These are all great ideas. But I think until they really add someone who moves the needle, it wasn't in their coach, Jonathan Hayes. While he's qualified, he's not going to draw up a lot of interest locally. So far, it hasn't been, we haven't seen any of their players. So we don't know if they're going to get a name there. It will take, I think, a player who people want to go see, or some sort of connection to the community that make people want to show up. Now, if the team's good, people will probably go. But it's going to take a while to know if the team's any good. So I just think when you're trying to get this off the ground, you got to have some splash. And so far, I haven't seen it. The name, I thought, was fine. I think it's you're going to get some pushback because it's pretty close to Blackhawks. And if, you know, some people don't like that, and I get that. If it is a nod, I guess maybe in some ways to the NBA team, but that didn't exactly end on great terms either now that it's in Atlanta. I don't hate the name. The logo is awesome. I'll give them that. You know, flip it upside down, it spells STL. But so far, I just don't know if Average Joe Sports Fan has XFL on his list of must-see stuff. Probably for them was a bit unfortunate considering it paired up so closely to the MLS announcement. But if you could sense the excitement around the MLS announcement, it doesn't compare much. It doesn't make the XFL look like it's on a lot of people's radar if you look at the comparison between the two.
When do they start play? When do they find out who, you know, what players they've got? What do we know about that for sure?
Well, they have, you know, they're working on basically finalizing, you know, the rosters right now. They've had a couple tryouts. They so far have one big quarterback signed, which is Landry Jones. I don't know if you remember Landry.
Oh, yeah.
He played in the NFL. He was more of a, you know, well-known name at Oklahoma. So their inaugural season is planned to start in 2020, and they'll basically work backward from that to have, you know, the roster that they need to, you know, complete this 10-game season, and then there's a postseason that follows. So, you know, until they, I think the way it will probably work is they have a set amount of money, you know, and they will probably spend a significant chunk of that money on a couple big names and kind of fill out the rest of the roster with maybe, you know, lesser tier guys. But they have been pretty adamant that they want to, you know, be competitive. And one of the interesting things that they're talking about doing, and if they do this, this would actually be interesting, Dan. They're talking about kind of capitalizing on the ability to sign guys out of college before they can go to the NFL. A lot of this conversation has revolved around Trevor Lawrence, who is obviously the rising sophomore, who'll be a sophomore at Clemson. He won a national championship last year. He would have been first pick off the board if he was able to play in the NFL, but because he's so young, he started as a true freshman. He pushed Kelly Bryant, who's now at Missouri, out of the job at Clemson and led him to the national championship. Technically, he could, I guess, if he wanted to, after his sophomore season, leave and go make money playing in the XFL, because he wouldn't be eligible yet to play in the NFL. Now, if they can start getting some of those guys, then maybe it, you know, maybe more folks are tuning in. Now, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, there's no way I'm leaving Clemson to go to the XFL. I don't trust the development. What if I get hurt? You know, the XFL, I feel like, is too much of a risk, and I'd rather be at Clemson. But if they can start to get some of those guys, then maybe this league has a little bit more of a chance and has a little bit more staying power.
I am proud to add to the website, as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, They want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. It'd be interesting. There's no doubt about that. Also interesting was the Cardinal game last night. Great win. Down by two, they're able to tie it up. Down by three, they go down by one. Then they win it 6-5. Your thoughts on last night's win?
Well, I'm still floored by the fact that Yadier Molina predicted Dexter Fowler's home run as the ball was leaving the pitcher's hand.
Pretty good, wasn't it?
Put that. I kind of joked with Mike Schultz after the game. I said, "Oh, come on, he probably does that. He probably does that every pitch, right?" And the camera just caught him once, and he laughed. He said, "I can see why you would suggest that, but no. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, you've been around Yadier Molina a lot longer than I have. I've been around him a little while, but every once in a while, he just does something that makes kind of you just add to the list of Yadier Molina." And that was one of them. Pretty incredible. Literally, as the ball was leaving the hand, he knew, or else had a pretty good hunch that it was going to be a home run. I thought, you know, the word that Mike Schilt used to describe the win was resilient. I thought that was a perfect fit. They just kept punching back. I mean, it could have been over when Arenado hit the home run. It wasn't. They kept finding a way, all the way to Carlos Martinez, man, who. I told Chris Tuno after the game, I said, this guy's like an acrobat who falls all the time during practice with a net, but then they take the net out and he's fine. He's perfect. He likes to back himself up until both shoulders are in the corner, but then he finds a way to get out of it. He truly is the best when there's the most on the line and when he's, you know, given all of his free passes away. He's the definition of a closer right now. If you look at what he's done in saves, you know, the past two seasons and those opportunities, he doesn't blow them. He makes you sweat. He makes you chew through your fingernails, but then he finds a way to get out of it.
When you think about this team, they're defined in my mind with their bullpen. Their bullpen, if they get into postseason play, the way the games are managed, and we'll probably see playoff baseball from here on out, basically, but it's with a lot of innings out of the bullpen. That's what gives you, I think, if you're a Cardinal fan, hope. You say, you know, they've got some guys, some big names that occasionally pop them and they keep in games. And then it's that bullpen, man, that keeps you going. And this is shaping up to be a hell of a run down the stretch. It makes it so much fun to come to the ballpark.
No doubt. And I'll give the Cardinals credit. They had, I would argue, some wind taken out of their sails at the trade deadline. They didn't get any help. They kind of stumbled around for a while. Well, now they've got a winning record since then. And some guys are coming up big. I mean, Dexter Fowler at the leadoff spot. Colton Wong has moved up. And shocker, Dan, I know that Colton Wong didn't just completely dissolve when he was bumped up above sixth in the order. He is continuing to do the same thing in a more impactful position. And, you know, a guy like Tommy Edman, who, you know, everybody was high on, and then he didn't hit for a minute, and everybody was ready to send him back to Memphis. Well, look what he's been up to lately. And then Paul DeJong's power. I mean, if Paul Goldschmidt can get going, and we've been saying it all season, but some of these other guys are clicking on around him. Marcell Ozuna with the big home run last night. And, you know, if Paul Goldschmidt can lock in, then you're talking about a dangerous, team. I'm to the point now where, you know, I think Schiltz is in the process of making a tough decision to basically bring Matt Carpenter off the bench for pinch hit opportunities and spare starts unless something seems to change there. And I think that's the right call. But you're right. The pitching has been worthy of praise, even the starters for the most part. You know, we all pointed to them as the weakness. They still are. But if the bullpen continues to pitch like this, they make it easier with rotation if you get to the postseason, because your need for five starters goes down and you just, you know, bullpen the heck out of it. So the makings are there of a team that can win the division. It's going to be a little bit cross your fingers and hope for the best with the pitching, but the bullpen makes that easier for the rotation. So the quest for offense continues. The more the Cardinals hit, the less we talk about, you know, how sketchy their rotation can be, but some of those guys have pitched pretty well. So, you know, clearly, they're right in this thing, man. And I've said it and I got ripped for it, but I'll say it again. The Cubs are begging this division to someone to come up and take it. They really are a flawed team, and there isn't a perfect team in the division. The Cubs are not as strong as many people think, and the Cardinals could very easily grab this thing.
How about Matt Carpenter? Really interesting comments yesterday from Mike Schilt before the game about Carp.
Yeah, I just think that we basically heard Schilt talk through what he's thinking about. And I'll give Mike Schilt credit, man, because he exhaustively explains what's going through his head. And there's never been a moment where you haven't wondered what he's thinking. And he's going to present it in a certain way. And he's going to, more than anything, try to have his guys back. But he understands hard questions. And he, I think, more than anything, wants to explain his decisions. And I appreciate that. With Carpenter, it's, you know, Schilt is in a spot where I asked him, I said, is this the hardest thing that you have wrestled with during your time as the manager? And he said, yes. But think about that. I mean, he's had to make some hard decisions. He hasn't hesitated to make hard decisions. You know, most recent being letting Mark Budaski go. That was Schilt's call. He said, this is the hardest thing. And the reason it is because he wants Matt Carpenter to be celebrated and remembered for all the good things Matt Carpenter's done. I mean, this is a guy who was a fifth-year senior, who late-round draft pick, who clawed his way to be a three-time All-Star, and, you know, just last season finished ninth in National League MVP voting. And there was a chunk of last season where he was the hottest hitter in baseball, where he put together months where his OPS was only beaten out by Mike Trout and J.D. Martinez. We're talking about 2018 when he was doing this. But in the six baseball months since September of last season, you're talking about a guy who's had been one of the least productive hitters in a lot of ways in the game, with a guy who gets as many opportunities as he does. And it's a confusing thing. I don't think they have an answer for it. But Schilt is seeing what we all see. The lack of consistent competitive at-bats just isn't there for Matt Carpenter right now. So I know the binary way to say, well, get rid of him. Well, that's not going to happen. They gave him an extension. Schilt didn't give him the extension. They gave him a regrettable extension that goes to $30 million over the next 2 years. The Cardinals do not walk away from contracts like that. It would be very surprising if they did. Even if they were going to, they wouldn't do it now. Because they still think that, you know, maybe Matt Carpenter can find a way to contribute. But I think at this time, if you look at what Tommy Edman has done since Matt Carpenter returned from that foot injury, then he's outplaying Matt Carpenter. He's outproducing Matt Carpenter. And, you know, with Harrison Bader back, with Tyler O'Neill coming back soon, with Jose Martinez starting to near his return, then you're talking about an offense that needs production. And right now there are other guys who are playing better. So I expect to see Matt Carpenter kind of like we saw him last night, Dan. Find him a pinch hit opportunity. They're going to find some, you know, occasional starts for him. But I think until something clicks for him and he'll have to do it probably through less opportunities, you're probably not going to see him get those everyday starts like he was getting for some time after his foot healed up.
Yeah, I would agree. Hey, Ben, always great stuff. And you're to be commended on all your coverage of MLS. It's been great this week, but really since day one, making sure you're pushing it and informing the city and fans what's going on. So well done. I will have the chance and opportunity, hopefully, to see you at the ballpark tonight. If not, we'll catch up next Friday.
Yeah, man, sounds good. Hey, quick plug if I can for a colleague, because we've talked a lot about soccer. I think my buddy and colleague Jacob Barker is working on a story that folks would be interested in, kind of detailing the ins and outs of the financing plan for for the stadium and for the effort. I've had a lot of folks ask questions. How is it different from the one that got rejected at the ballot box? Why is it good or bad? I think he's going to get into those details much more, you know, detailed than I can as just a humble sports writer. But I'll encourage folks to check out an upcoming edition of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch for that.
We'll talk to you next Friday. Thanks, Ben.
Sounds good, man. Talk soon.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.